Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, reading verses 31 to 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know how much TV you've been watching in the last week, but I tend to really watch this Ukrainian war story a lot. I realize that if you watch it, that where reporters go is really not the news about what's happening with the armies, because that's too dangerous. So they tend to report on cities that have not yet been bombed, or they get reports about the front and what's happening, or they're in Poland or a place where they're refugees. But we here at Trinity, as you probably know, have a connection with a ministry in Ukraine, and we've sent out these emails to everyone. And I'm just going to read this is from Janie Sutton. It's our missionary friend Nita Hansen created God's hidden treasures many years ago to address the needs of the physically and mentally challenged in Ukraine. Now that war is being waged in Ukraine, God's hidden treasures is using its human resources, vehicles, and broadly established connections in Ukraine and beyond to help. They're getting people out of Ukraine and then going back with food, medicine, and other supplies. In effect, they have very quickly and very bravely established a new mission. And so here's one of the emails. She sends ones every other day or so. Here's one of the emails from Nita. She says, "Tomorrow our white van will set out for Slovakia once again. Please pray for our drivers as they must be exhausted. Pray also for safe travels as daily the bombing gets worse and worse. In Mariupol, people have no heating, gas, electricity, food, or water. Having no water will kill them the fastest. They are totally surrounded by Russian forces, and the so-called safe passage zones are being bombed. I want all people we can tell in Ukraine to store up water now before something happens to them. And Bila Tavika is increasingly being bombed. My home in Forse had a bomb explode 200 meters from my house. Please pray for me. I'm so brokenhearted by the death and devastation in my beloved Ukraine." And so we are going to pray for her in the pastoral prayer. But, you know, you think about that kind of situation where people are being bombed, and they are taking shelter, a lot of them, as you probably know, in subways, and subway communities underground have become bomb shelters, but very much as the underground in London was in World War II. But people are seriously in danger. And as you, when she says pray, she is trusting God to protect them and the handicapped children that they're trying to get out. And I think today our story is about protection. and about sheltering, as Hannah said, about what it's like to shelter and to be protected by God. Because many of you are also trusting God to protect you. And, you know, it's not the same thing as being in Ukraine. But some of you are sick listening to me now. And, you know, you are afraid. It's natural to be afraid of what's coming. Or you love someone who is sick. And you trust and pray that God will protect you. Some of you are just worried about the future. Some of us really need financial protection. Some of us are worried about relationships, and we pray for a protection of that relationship. And the question comes up, is God real enough to do this? I mean, that's really what it boils down to. I mean, is this just hocus pocus? Is this just wishful thinking? Or is God real enough actually to shelter us, to protect us from evil? And I know that when I feel like I have no control over events, like our friends in Ukraine, it really is scary. And so I want us to look at this text in that regard, at what happens and just to see what we can get from it. And it says that very same hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And there's three things that the way I can organize this, and if you can follow this, is there's a word that occurs three times in this very short passage. And in Greek, the word is thelo, T-H-E-L-O. And it means to want or to desire. And there's three characters in this paragraph who desire things. And one is that Herod desires something. And one is that Jerusalem desires something. And the other is that Jesus desires something. So I want us to kind of look at that in that regard, in those three things. And so, you know, first, it's kind of weird, don't you think, that the Pharisees came to protect Jesus? The Pharisees came to say, you need to get going because Herod's going to kill you. Jesus actually did have friends who were Pharisees. They weren't all terrible and out to get him. And so he did have these people who were trying to warn him. Herod was the king. He was the most powerful man in Judea, and he was trying to kill him. And what is Jesus' response? It's kind of reminds me of the president of Ukraine. He doesn't cower. You know, the president Zelensky, you know, when people were trying to get him out, he says, "I don't need a ride. I need ammunition." And Jesus comes right back and he says, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today, tomorrow, and the third day." See, that's the third day he raised again from the dead. "And third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." So Herod's desire, his philo there, is to kill Jesus. And so that is what he wants to do, because Jesus is a threat. Jesus is speaking truth to power. And then the second one is Jerusalem itself has a desire. And Jerusalem's desire is to kill the prophets, because they are speaking truth to power there too, to the people who are corrupt, to the people who are rich because they step on the poor, and the prophets are killed, and Jesus is one of those prophets. So verse 34, Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." And that word "willing" is thelo. You did not desire to be gathered by me. You were just intent on killing prophets. And he knows that they're going to kill him. Now, here's the connection with Lent. I got to tell you, Lent's not my favorite season in the church. I like Christmas myself, Advent. But, right? Yeah. And But Lent is a good, I've learned to appreciate it because, you know, we just finished Epiphany. Right after Christmas, you start Epiphany. And Epiphany is when you start turning a light on every Sunday. The light goes up and you see a little bit who Jesus is. And during the time, it's all about Jesus going away from Jerusalem with his disciples and him wondering if they're going to figure out who he is. Until finally, Jesus says, you know, who do people say that I am? And they say, well, John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets. And he says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, the light comes on. And he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the Blessed. And Jesus says, you're right. And at that point, everything turns. And he says, okay. And he starts teaching them that the Son of Man must suffer and be betrayed and die. And on the third day be resurrected. And of course, you know, Peter can't handle it and says, no, no. And they had that whole fight. But at that point, Jesus, the last thing in Epiphany, if you remember just a couple Sundays ago, was the Mount of Transfiguration. And they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and they heard God say, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And at that point, they come down the mountain and they head towards Jerusalem. And so Lent is the whole story of getting Jesus, the disciples finally realize who he is. That's the Epiphany. And then he heads to Jerusalem where he's going to die. And we're headed towards Passion Week. We're headed towards Palm Sunday, and we're headed towards Maundy Thursday, and we're headed towards Good Friday, and we're headed towards Easter. And that's what this has happened. That's what it has to do with Lent. And so it's a really good season to think about our relationship with God. And do we really want to have a relationship with God in the down times, in the bad times? It's great to praise God and have a big, you know, hymn sing and have a kind of a party in the church. But when you're hurting, when you're down, what happens to your relationship with God then? You know, it would seem like we would cling to God more, but we don't always. We try to pull ourselves up. And this is a time for us to think about, do we want, there's that Thilo again, do we want Jesus to shelter us, to provide for us in that way? And so now, you know, Jerusalem is saying, Jesus says, I desire to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood, and you were not willing. And the question is, are we any different? Are we willing for Jesus to gather us and shelter us? His desires are tragically countered by Jerusalem, which does not desire what Jesus, the prophet, desires. So now we get to Jesus' desire. Jesus' desire this Sunday morning is to shelter us. He says, how often have I desired, Thilo, to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And I have seen it, and it's an interesting thing. My dad raised white leghorn chickens, and we call them legerns, white legerns, but it's leghorn. And when they would have chicks, the mother would put her wings out like that, and the chicks would instinctively gather underneath. Sometimes a dozen or more would gather underneath, and she would be like that. And she was doing that because of hawks, I think, because hawks are above. We call them chicken hawks. They have actual names. Cooper's hawks, red-tailed hawks. And that's part of what they do. And she gathers them like that. I also want to point out is the protective nature of a mother here, of mother hen. Jesus did not say, how I would love to have gathered you under my wings as a rooster. Right? He said, as a hen. And it's a feminine image for God. And that, you know, there's a lot of God and God he and God as a man in the Bible, but this is one of them. And it's one Jesus used, this feminine image of the hen gathering the chicks. I just want to point that out. It's there. And so that's Jesus is offering us shelter and protection like a mother hen. I had this experience, not so much with chickens, but on our lake in Laurel Hill, we have wood ducks. We have these wood ducks. Y'all seen these wood duck boxes? And you have to maintain them. You have to have a predator guard so that, you know, snakes don't get in there and stuff. But what happens is the wood duck hen goes in there and lays eggs in this in the sawdust that's in that box. And they pick it out around February. And the eggs hatch out right at the early part of May. And I have one right in front of my office window out there in Laurel Hill, and I've seen it happen a bunch of times. And these little wood ducks climb up, and then they jump out, and their little bodies are like parachutes. They fall 4 feet, which for them must seem like 10 stories. And then they plop in, all of them, like 18, 20 sometimes. But one time we were out in the lake, and you know, we're in a fishing boat that had a motor, and I was just kidding around with the people in the boat. I said, you know, these are wood duck boxes, and I wonder if there's a hen in there. And we started cruising up to the thing, and a hen wood duck busted out of that thing. She heard us coming. And so this is such a guy thing. We thought it'd be fun to chase her, okay? And so revved up the motor. And these boats didn't go very fast, but we could never really gain on her. We were always about 10 feet behind. And so we had a very good view of her flight. She was only about 2 feet off the water. And her left wing, she was beating like crazy, but her left wing looked like it was broken. And what? That's right. It's absolutely right, Jesse. That's exactly. It was a diversion. And in nature, she is trying to make us think she's wounded, because in nature, you go after the wounded thing because they're going to slow down and you can eat them. And so she's pretending to be wounded when she's flying like that. And that is what is so wonderful about the mothering instinct of protecting her chicks. And that was, because I was looking at it, and I was looking at it, I didn't know what you knew. And I was looking at it, and the guys in the boat, there's something wrong with that duck. And then they explained that same thing to me. And so it is that kind of maternal, she would rather me catch her than me get her chicks. She was ready to sacrifice herself for her chicks. And that is what Jesus is doing here. He is saying, I am going to the cross. I know I am. I'm going to Jerusalem because they're going to kill me there. And I'm doing that because I am going to protect my people as a hen gathers her brood. And so if you are feeling scared today, if you are feeling vulnerable, out of control, that is the God that we have that is willing to sacrifice himself for us, just exactly as a mother hen or a mother duck would. It's willing to cover us and shelter us with his wings so that we will not be harmed. And that's why I know, I mean, people are dealing with very serious things, but all of us need to understand that notion of being protected by God, of God's protection. Whatever your diagnosis is, and the older we get, the more diagnoses we have. Some of us got 3 or 4. God is still with you and protecting you. You still have a relationship. There are times when we have things happen in our life where we think, God, what are you doing? You're trying to, do you hate me? Are you doing this because you're mad at me? Have I done something? And it's not that. It's that people get sick in this world. Nations invade other nations. And their bombs fall, but God is still there protecting us. And Jesus has that philo, that desire to protect us, to sacrifice his life so that we might have life. So what does your future look like today? Seriously, think about it. Think about you. Think about your family, your spouse if you have one, your friends. Where do you feel vulnerable this morning? You're not in it alone. Jesus is with you in whatever you're in. And the question is, will you have a different desire than Jerusalem had? You know, again, you know, he said, I desire to gather you together as a hen, but you didn't desire it. And so the question is, do you, I've heard somebody say this, that Jesus is a gentleman. He will never impose his will on you. He has to be invited in. But are you willing to allow Jesus to shelter you, to protect you? Will we have the faith just to rest in Jesus, even if we are still feel vulnerable and we don't understand it? Are you willing for Jesus to gather you and protect you? I want to close with a note that Nina hit, she included with one of the emails, and it's a, she said, it's an acquaintance's husband who's actually a soldier on the front, and he wrote to his wife this in Ukraine. I want to inspire prayer warriors with the words of familiar soldiers and ordinary people from all ends of the war. The warriors of Ukraine testify this. We feel your prayerful support. Sometimes something really fuzzy happens, like someone's invisible hand is actually taking bullets and shells from us and flying past us. We emerge winners from this very difficult situation, as if someone is accompanying us. We become invisible to the enemy. We see ourselves even in the dark, and we know what to do and how to do it. This inspires and empowers us. We believe that the Lord Jesus himself is for us. And that means the Lord Jesus himself is for you today. Believe it. Reach out and say, God, I desire you to gather me up. I desire you to protect me. I give my future and my fear to you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, first, thank you that you desire to be our mother hen and to shield us with your wings and your body, to gather us together as your people. Lord, we pray for everyone who is afraid today, who feels out of control and vulnerable, that you would give them peace, give them some kind of sense of your presence with them in this new circumstance that's so strange and so scary. Help us to trust you as even these soldiers in Ukraine are trusting you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.